My name is Ward Minnis, and you're listening to the Seven Skeletons podcast. Seven Skeletons is a limited series art experience that tells my story and the story of my family, the family of Bahamian artists that includes my father, Eddie Minnis, through the lens of our lifelong relationship with the Jehovah's Witness religion. For a transcript of this podcast with supporting images, please visit the mentalslavery.com website. You can find the link in the show notes. There you can leave a comment or feedback on this episode or on the project as a whole. You can also see the original painting that is paired with this episode. So without further ado, buckle up and sit tight. I'm bringing seven skeletons out of the family closet. This episode is the second skeleton. It's titled, Using the C Word Responsibly. You can be prepared for something, but that does not make the pain of it any less. Sarah Kendzior. I'm not calling Jehovah's Witnesses a cult for the shock value. It's just that the popular idea of what a cult is and a huge chunk of the negative vibes that come along with that is the best way to describe them. I could go about proving they're a cult a bunch of different ways. I could go the academic route and talk about the bite model and discuss high-controlled religions who like to make end-of-the-world prophecies. I could discuss totalitarianism and how that manifests in religious structures. I could cite experts and other former members and really get into the nitty-gritty and get all technical and jargony. But I won't do any of that. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. 1. The life of a Jehovah's Witness begins only after they get baptized. In the Ting and Ting documentary, my sister Nicole says that she got baptized when she was 15. Totally her decision, she says. I got baptized when I was 12. This is a big deal because before you get baptized, you're not a real Jehovah's Witness. You're not even a member. You're just affiliated. For one thing, baptism makes you eligible for a lot of witness perks. For example, my sisters could become what they call pioneers. Back then, that was someone who put in 1,000 hours a year evangelizing. And eventually, I did that too. As a male, though, I had access to more perks than they did. I got to carry the microphone in the witness meetings, play the songs from the cassettes to start and end the services. I was even able to say prayers. Eventually, I took fuller advantage of all that maleness and became a ministerial servant, which was a crucial step up the ladder, with the next rung being elder. What I didn't think about at the time, and how could I since I was only 12, was that getting baptized also gave the witnesses the power to kick me out. Getting kicked out of the witness religion was called disfellowshipping. It happens via an announcement made near the end of one of their meetings. A somber-looking man would go up to the podium and say, "So-and-so has been disfellowshipped." And just like that, would take all the air out of the room. That phrase, as simple as it sounds, has crazy power. I remember a time when I was talking and laughing with someone before a meeting started, then that announcement happened for them. And when the meeting was finished, I wouldn't talk to them again. In fact, no one would. We all barely even made eye contact. The not talking part continued outside the Kingdom Hall too. Word would spread fast to all the witnesses in Nassau, and the disfellowship person would go from having a whole bunch of witness friends to none at all. Jehovah's Witnesses practice shunning of former members, and disfellowshipping makes someone a former member. Witness teachings even tell parents and siblings not to talk to their disfellowshipped family member. It's as if the announcement killed the person on the spot. If the person grovels to the elders and grovels for at least a year, they may be let back into the flock. But that reunion comes only after they had walked in the wilderness alone for what to them would have felt like an eternity. 2. The most popular reason why people get disfellowshipped is probably for sex. Having an affair with the wrong person, like an unbeliever, or someone you're not married to, or both. Being gay. You could even get disfellowshipped for smoking. I got disfellowshipped because I stopped believing. Before my crisis of conscience, I was one of the witnesses' rising stars. My dream was to go off to one of their missionary schools for single men. I was so serious, I took a month off work with no pay to go convert people on another island. I was such a true believer that at one point, I didn't think my dad was witness enough. Because I pushed the limits, though, I started to see the gaps. The Watchtower said that if I did everything they told me to, that I would be happy. I found out two things. It wasn't humanly possible to do everything they demanded, and no matter how much I did, I was never any happier. In fact, it was usually the opposite. The more I did, the more useless and miserable I felt. I found out that the truth was the furthest thing from that, and I reached for the exit. I knew, though, that leaving would mean death for me. I knew that once they read that announcement, I would be cut off from friends, family, my parents, my sisters. I knew that I might never talk to any of them again, and I would lose the only life that I had ever known. Many witnesses come to the same conclusions that I did, but not everyone is prepared to make that total sacrifice. A lot of people just fade. They quiet quit. They knock on less doors. They lead a double life. I've talked to a few of those people over the years. They reach out in secret as if we live in Cold War era Russia and they are avoiding the KGB. As long as they don't get caught, the theory goes, they get to keep their family and friends and don't become total outcasts. And believe me, in the witness world, the elders are the KGB. I never had the ability to lead a double life, though. I'm just not cut out for that. It was always all or nothing for me. So when the elders came looking for me, I was ready. There was one time I had 5 of them to me one, and I shot them down with their own Bible. That's when they knew I was dangerous. That's when they knew they had to get rid of me. When I was finished standing up to them, I went home, sat down, and cried. I knew it was going to happen to me in theory, but I had no idea what it was really going to be like. The announcement was coming, but it was coming for me this time. Once it came, I knew that in a very real sense, I would be no more. 3. I had to go down this road to find the absolute truth about what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. And it has nothing to do with the Bible, or morality, or even God. When you boil it all down, Jehovah's Witnesses have to believe whatever is currently printed in the Watchtower magazine. If the Watchtower tells my dad, my mother, my sisters not to speak or have anything to do with their son, their brother who is disfellowshipped, then by damn, that's what they're gonna do. Now tell me that ain't a cult. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Seven Skeletons podcast. Leaving the Jehovah's Witnesses brings heavy, heavy consequences and a whole new life. In the next episode, I'll go through that with you and where me and my family are at after 20 years of shunning. The episode is titled My Life as a Ghost. Please visit the mentalslavery.com website for bonus posts and original artwork related to this program. I'm Ward Minnis, and we'll talk more soon. Thank you.